This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to the top of the hour, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building. We're right in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street. You can come on down, watch the show. It's a beautiful Thursday today. The weather is absolutely gorgeous outside. There's no humidity, and it's just beautiful. And yeah. Chef Patrick, just kudos to you because the mayor, we could tell, right, Mike? We could absolutely tell that
he definitely consumed more than he typically does.
Yes.
Couldn't stop himself.
He whispered in my ear, he said, you know, this is probably the best meal I've ever had. You know, no, I mean, that's what he said. I don't know if you guys heard that, but, you know.
He's a politician, Patrick. It's election year.
Of course, no wonder why. That's why he said, vote for me.
You don't live here, though, so you can't vote for him. But I did notice through lack of humidity today that you're having a good hair day, Chef.
Oh, yeah. I got my little spike up front, you know. I got this little paste I put in my hair and spike it up, so I never used to do it. And all of a sudden, I started to. It makes the grays look a lot, you know, blend in a little bit better.
Gray hair.
Oh, my God. You should see it when I get my hair cut when it's all dry.
Yeah.
Oh, it's salt
and pepper. Now, what product do you use? I'm just curious.
I use that. Fructose? Yeah, whatever. It's some little container. It's like this little paste, and I put it in my hair.
Really? Know, so. Okay. Well, you know, guys had to have this conversation, Carol, as well.
Okay.
Carol, you gotta look good. Okay. You know. You know, this just doesn't come natural. You know. No. So
he doesn't roll out. He doesn't roll out of bed looking this good in the morning.
No. You know, it's a lot of work. It takes about 5 minutes. You know. So
that's the beauty of being a guy, though. Seriously.
Yeah. You know what? I have to say, hold on. I am one of those girls that does not take hours to get ready.
No.
Really, from start to finish, as long as I know what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Okay? If I know what I'm wearing, 20 minutes, maybe 25.
Do you blow dry your hair?
No.
No.
My day's easy because, you know, I know what I'm wearing every day usually when I'm working.
Right.
Usually consists of a white chef jacket and black pants every day. So, you know, everybody sees me. It's funny because, you know, students will be out and about and, like, I'll come walking in some days when it's, you know, a day that I don't have class or anything like that. And they'll be like, I'll have regular clothes on.
And they don't recognize you.
And they're like, I'm like, you guys are like 20 years old. I'm like, they're amazed. Like, I'm like a little kid seeing their teacher out for the first time. You know, they're like, what are you wearing?
Yeah,
I'm like, no, I don't live in this clothes, you know.
Yeah, going to Catholic school my entire life from first grade all the way through college graduation, had nuns, and as time went on and the new rules of Vatican II, the dress code for nuns kind of relaxed. So the first time that you would see a nun's hair pop out or just a full hair with none of the whole headdress thing was like, oh, my God, they have hair.
They have hair.
Wonder what else they have.
This is a funny story. Tyler went to St. Casimir when we moved to Manchester. Back to Manchester, I should say. And he really did not want to go. And St. Casimir was the only school. Well, that school just had one nun teaching, Sister Gertrude. And
bet she was 100 years old.
She was.
Yeah.
And Tyler, of course, had her. And I'm telling you, every morning, you know, there was like this little line of cars. You know, you'd bring your car up to the thing and the lady be out there. And, you know, they get out of the car. And then, you know, you go. And it's like a little line of you know, the mothers dropping their kids off. Every morning, literally, I had to push him out of the car. It was horrible. He
really?
Just did not like it. Then one day he comes home and gets in the car. I'm like, so how was your day? Oh, my God, you know, it was awful. He's like, Sister Gertrude's up. She was at the front of the classroom, and she blew her nose, and she stuck her tissue, like, in her sleeve.
Oh, yes.
Right. That would drive me nuts.
I remember that now.
I could, it's funny. One of my biggest pet peeves is, like, when I'll be going to the grocery store, and you'll see someone that's old school like that and still does that, and they'll be rubbing their nose and then picking out the produce, and I'm like, no. Oh, it happens all the time. I see it, and it just drives me nuts. I'm like, no. You know, I'm like, I'm out there with the sanitizer. Oh, I'm a germaphobe.
It does make you wonder, though, when you pick something up, how many people have touched it, examined it, and, as you say, blew their nose, and then...
You don't have to go through each one of the fruits out there, you know, or the vegetables, you know. You take a look at it, select one. You don't have to touch every single one of them.
Pick the one you touched.
Oh, and then you had that soap, what is it, that sanitizer
Purell.
For fruit. Yeah,
well,
you'd soak your fruit in there, and I started...
Don't know.
stock in that, you know.
I have some of that too.
It's,
really?
It's like, it was this weird, it's made for fruit and vegetables.
For fruit and vegetables, a spray.
Yeah.
It's a spray.
What's a little spray or
what
something.
What does it, or what's it made of? It must be an organic type of material.
You can get it right at the grocery store. It's usually with the fruit, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. What's wrong with soap and water?
Soap and water, yeah. I don't know. I guess.
Soap? You're going to soap up your lettuce?
Well, not my lettuce,
wow.
But possibly my banana.
I don't know.
But, you know, just to bring it back here a moment, just to rein it in, our friend Steve Freeman, who is one of the members of the Manchester Food Co-op, gave us an amazing statistic, you know, because we're talking about looking at fruits and other stuff. That's something like 30% of food produced is discarded because it's not pretty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's probably not the correct figure, but it was in that ballpark.
Yeah. Yeah. They pick and choose and you know, you think about it. I always wonder who puts all the little stickers on each meal.
Oh, no kidding.
Because I hate taking them off.
I hate taking them off.
Oh,
yeah. It's such a pain in the butt.
Yeah. It's like, why do we
And I have this thing when I get home and I wash them, I have to take them off. I mean,
right away?
It's like I'm just paranoid.
Yeah,
if I'm
working at it, you know, at school or something like that, you'll see like a little stack of stickers.
Me when I'm
I pile them all up, go through them first, and then you know, then you do that afterwards. But
and that's because we can all do self checkout now. They have the little barcodes, or not the barcodes, but at least they have the code number, 4 or 5 digits.
Yeah,
just punch it into your. Do you guys like doing the self checkout?
I was just going to ask you that. Do you? Mm.
I do.
I don't.
Well, here's why I resisted initially, because I felt it was costing jobs. You know, I know that the grocery store is going to make more money, but I would prefer to have a real person do it so they can keep their job. So
yeah.
And I still adhere to that, but if it's a day where it's just backed up everywhere and I need to get out quickly, I'll do self-checkout. But I'm not a fan of it because it costs jobs.
Yeah. I love the self-checkout just because, like I said, but when it comes to produce, I'm always the one that doesn't have the code on there, so I got to go look through.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
then you got to weigh it.
I have the worst luck, and like I said, number one, you know, I go in there and I'm wearing my chef jacket, and I walk through. People are like, oh, yes, can you show me where the pork
Seriously?
Is? Oh, all the time. Can you show me where the pork is? I had someone ask me just yesterday. I went to the grocery store. Hey, can you just ask, you know, can you let me know, you know, when I'm roasting this, they're asking me questions
all
the time, and I'm like,
you know what? I've got a chef's jacket at home. I might start wearing that once in a while as an experiment.
They think
and,
you work there.
And give totally bogus advice.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, you have pork? Cook it to 110 degrees.
Yeah, 110 degrees. You know, you can it's actually, you can actually.
You're trying to kill them?
Cook it rare,
at
very
least
rare.
Say 190.
No, then I would say, no, I'm just kidding. It's 120.
Yeah. But, that would be fun. It would be a whole show we could go
around.
That
would be a whole
because
show.
Does that happen frequently or once in a while?
Every time I go, I will say
time?
If I went 5 times during the week
to the
store and I have a chef jacket on, people, you know, first of all, they look you up and down, but people come up to me all the time. They're like, oh, where's the spinach? Can you tell me where the spinach is? Or do you know where the bacon is? And it's funny because I shop so much, I do know where it is. So I'm like,
right.
Oh, yeah, right over there, you know. And then they start asking me something that I don't know where it is. And then I'm like, I'm sorry, ma'am, I don't work here. Oh, okay. Oh, but why you're here, you know, if I'm cooking a roast and then I, you know, which I like, you know, I like giving my information.
Well,
so.
You like people in general.
Oh, yeah.
Well, most people.
Yeah, I'm a people person. So,
yeah.
So, and then we spark up conversations and things like that.
All right. Now, of course, you're a married man. Your daughters are here. But
yeah.
Before you were married, would that be an invitation for some women to perhaps want to get to know you on a more personal level?
I guess so. I don't know. You know, it depends. Hmm. You know, I've been married for what, 17 years now, so you know, so it's been forever. I can't remember.
Yeah, right.
Hi, how are you?
I would think though that if you were a single chef and you're wearing your whites at the grocery store and you engage in conversation. And you have somebody that's interested in you.
You'll be amazed at what the jacket does for that. You know, I'm telling you, some of the ladies love the jacket.
Well, women
like a man in uniform. You know,
like a man in uniform. Now, does that hold true for you? I mean, like police or firemen or something in uniform. A lot of women say they love the uniform.
No,
that never did it for you.
No,
yeah, no.
I like the rugged.
Yeah.
You know, Daryl's a stonemason.
The Carhartts, you know?
So I'd never have a chance with Carol.
That's it.
Daryl's a stonemason. You know, he wears his shorts right now with his, you know, his boots, his work
his
boots.
Steel-toed
yeah,
boots.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I like that look. So.
Yeah, that's hard work, man. I love guys that can work with stone, too.
Yeah.
But not in that sense. But
oh,
I mean,
it's... I put a patio in once with my father-in-law, and it's not
fun.
Especially when it's 90 degrees out, and you got to tamp it down, and you're sweating.
He does does more inside work. He puts in like kitchens, you know, countertops and bathrooms.
That
and
always fascinates me. Tiling.
And granite is fascinating. If you've ever seen, you know, I just went online one day to see how they harvest the stuff. You know, like in Brazil, which is where a lot of the granite comes from, they have these massive saws that cut through almost like bread, slices of granite slabs, and somehow they break it off, bring it back, and I mean, it looks like ugly stone. And then they polish it and go, oh, my God.
They have to put water through those stones, too, when they're cutting, I guess.
I think so, yeah, to keep the blade from overheating.
Yeah, no, it's that's
like
that's
a diamond saw, I think it's called.
It probably is,
I have
one
of those for my stained glass.
You do?
I do. Diamond bandsaw.
Really?
So you do stained glass?
I do.
Oh, you do? Oh, wow.
As do I. We found that out yesterday that we have that in common. I don't. I'm not very active in it, but I've been commissioned to do lamps and stuff in the past.
Years ago when I owned my own restaurant, when I went and I invested in like all this woodworking equipment. I mean, I got everything. I'm talking about, you know, the miter boxes to the table saws, and I was going to get into cabinet making for some reason. Like I had any time whatsoever. I mean, I had 90.
Isn't that funny when you do that.
You know, so I still have all that stuff, you know, so, and I have a planer, I have everything, so,
Ragger.
But, you know, and I don't even know how to build anything, so.
here's the question, when you go into a hardware store with the chef whites on, how does that work out for you?
Everybody's like, what are you doing here?
You're in the wrong place, buddy.
Like, where's the seeds? where's the tomato seeds? And, you know, so, yeah, no, I just, either that or they think I'm redoing a kitchen or something like that, you know, so. But which is another whole art and all on its own, you know, as far as this industry goes and everything. So
do you have like really good kitchen equipment at home?
Sub-Zero
or Wolf? Or
no, I want it. That's for sure. And we're going to redo our kitchen over. That's the first thing I would do is get that, because right now I have electric stove, and it was just because that's who we bought our house from.
Don't like electric stoves.
No, we bought our house. They had the lady that lived there lived there for about 10 months. So it was a fairly new house. It's in a, you know, great little development. But we have gas there, but she had an electric stove, which drives me nuts.
Why?
Because I don't like working off electric. It's just – it's one of those things, and I would ride – so the first thing I want to do is tile my whole back kitchen, get the granite tops, you know, and all that sort of stuff, and have one of those Wolf ovens and stoves. I mean, they make them now with those little flat tops in the middle.
Yeah.
You can make some steak and cheese and do whatever you want to do. We have some friends.
Well, call Daryl. He'll do it as a side job. He'll save a lot of money.
Absolutely.
Sure, his boss is happy to hear that.
He allows them to do side jobs.
So they encourage them to do side jobs?
I wouldn't really probably say encourage, but he can do them.
Well, you can't stop it, so why, you know, why fight it, right?
He even lets him use the truck. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's very nice. That's very cool.
Yep.
I want to work for somebody like that. Oh, I do. I forgot.
Yep. Nope. So I have no skills in whatsoever as far as carpentry goes, and which is awkward because my uncle's a carpenter, and you know my grandfather used to do some carpentry. My grandfather used to be a chef too, but he had some skills doing carpentry and all that sort of stuff. But not me. Didn't fall down this way.
Only worse thing than electric stove, and it sort of still is, are the glass top stoves.
Oh yeah.
Good luck keeping them clean.
Oh,
I don't think they make anything. Oh, good.
Okay, so, hold.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Is that what you have, Carol?
I do. And mine is very clean.
Well, how the hell do you do it?
Because I just clean as I go.
Yeah.
So my first time I started.
I'm a clean cook.
First time I started coming around, my father and mother-in-law had a center island like this with those tops, you know, the black tops on there. And my mother-in-law is a little OCD. All right, so she also had an end sink that was in there, and it was just completely dry. So I'm like over there one day, and all of a sudden I just turn on the sink. She's like, "What are you doing?" You to come over, and she starts wiping it all out. And I said, "Listen," I'm like, "Oh, she's OCD."
Oh, no.
So now every time I go over there, I take my hand and I'm like, right over the right, you know, just kind of swipe the countertop with it. That's her story. With it, she gets so frustrated with me.
She doesn't use it.
No. So you know, they go out to eat a lot. You know, so I would do that, and she gets a cinch out, and she's wiping it down and going crazy about
That's
it. So.
Funny.
Are you a clean cook?
I am. Yeah. You know, I never, when I first started, I worked down in the Florida Keys, at the Chica Lodge Resort in Florida Keys. And, you know, when I was just, you know, starting out, and I wasn't a clean cook, they used to ridicule you, you know? So,
really?
I mean, not I'm clean as in far as in like, yes, washing hands. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Sanitary cook. But like, you know, when you start getting going, you start doing vegetables and things like that. You have everything around you. You know, I would take eight billion things out just to cook one dish, you know, or whatever. And they used to call me Pigpen down there. So I would have all, you know, like I get all my stuff out, whatever. And they're like, hey, why don't you do this before you start doing that? So you see that a lot, especially with young students, is that, you know, and it's funny because I just mentioned this yesterday, you know, they'll take every single thing out just to cook. I'm like, hey, why don't you just simplify yourself? So, I mean, I had to learn it. So now I'm trying to teach them. And here's the other thing, too, is like we'll have table space all over in our kitchen, you know, for at school. And it's funny because I make a daily joke. They have one table right here and there's plenty of other tables. There's like three of them working in one area. I'm like, could you not the other five tables that are sitting there empty? You guys all have to work here? Oh, I know. I'm okay. Well, go ahead and move.
So, are you a mean teacher?
No, I'm not a mean teacher. I can be sarcastic at times, you know. You know,
well,
sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know about yourself, but if you, sometimes inside the restaurant, you know, industry, some of the you know, the students I find nowadays is they don't use common sense. You know, like, you know, they don't use their own common sense of like, you know, what, you know, what, certain things like you see, you take for granted that you, okay, we're going to boil pasta today. You know, and I come over and the student's got pasta sitting in a cold pot with water. I'm like, the whole team is to boil pasta. I said, are you going to just soak it until it comes back to life?
So they put it in stiff?
Oh, yeah. Cold water, everything, yeah. You know, and simple things, you know. One of the biggest things too is you know, just sometimes these students they sabotage themselves because it's the lack of effort sometimes, you
yeah.
know.
Mm-hmm.
You get a few of them, and you must see it with employees too.
Certainly do.
And it's like oh well you know, how did you add cheese to this? No. Why didn't you add the cheese to this? Because I didn't feel like shredding it up. Are you kidding me? I'm like, you just sabotaged yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. F. No. Wow. So, you know, everybody's different. You have, you know, great students that come in there that are very, and, you know, it's hard to teach the passion part of it. Either you have a passion for cooking or you don't, you know, and a lot of people, like, when, you know, I know we've talked about this before, you know, see the Food Network and all the things that are going on there. And so it's one of those things that, you know, people have this misconception, you know, and I always, when I go around and I talk to students and I go around to the high schools a lot of times, I tell them, I said, hey, listen, I said, you'll never not have a job in this industry, but it's nights, it's weekends, it's holidays. I said, but you'll never go hungry. I said, you'll never not have a job. I said, and it's one of those things. So
it's true. That is true.
It is.
You know, when I was doing day to day, you know, I managed, of course, Manchester and, you know, did all that stuff from dishes all the way up. And, you know, I considered myself really a glorified babysitter.
Yeah. it's true. It's true. And, you know, and one of the things, and I always teach them too, you know, you wouldn't ask somebody to do something that you wouldn't be,
exactly.
You know, be able to do. So it's funny, you know, that's one of the main things, you know, the students will pile up, you know, the dishes over in the dish sink area, and they'll be, I'll be like, come on guys, we got to, you know, start washing them. But every once in a while, I'll jump over there and just, they're like amazed. They're like, wow. I'm like, yeah, I know. I put my time in doing this too. You know, I started off
that's
doing
right,
this.
That's right, of course.
You know,
we
so.
Certainly did. Oh my gosh,
so
grew up in it.
You're no Gordon Ramsay, though.
No, you know, it's you know, and I always teach you know the students that too. You know, it's you know Gordon Ramsay. Okay, that's you know pretty much made for TV. But,
Hell's Kitchen, but he's got other shows where he's much much kinder.
Oh yeah, he's you know if you ever seen him, you know outside those shows, mm-hmm. You know he's very kind actually. But it's one of those things. You know, like I said, you know, and I always teach people, you know, as far as management. Goes, mm-hmm. You know, if I went to say, hey, Mike, he's, you, why don't you, hey, stupid, you want to grab that broom and sweep up this, you know, mm-hmm. You know, or if I said, hey, buddy, can you do me a favor? Can you just sweep up that pile there? What are you going to respond to?
Yeah,
you know, you're going to respond to the, you know, and I've had chefs from both ends. I'm not saying they're not out there, but it's true. You know, like I said, you get more. More flies with honey than you do with vinegar.
That's right.
That's my favorite quote from my dad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is true, you know. So you know,
you take a break.
Oh yeah,
Why? We're having too much fun.
Well, we are, but
oh, we have to pay bills?
We have to take a break.
Okay.
We just have to. That's just what we have to do.
All right.
We need to come up with a trivia, or I think you have a trivia.
I'll get one.
We're going to give
prizes?
Away. We're going to give away some food, dinner out to two different places, Puerto Vallarta and Mama McDonough's. So stay tuned, listen in, and we're going to do a trivia. Food for Thought. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hello, everybody. This is Food for Thought, and we are brought to you by New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com, and Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and the newest in Londonderry with a drive-through. That's exit 5 off of 93. So easy to jump off as you're heading from, say, Massachusetts up north for a nice weekend. You just pop off there, have yourself a little meal, even grab it on the drive-through. If you'd like, you're going, sit down, relax, get some great service, some great food. Red Arrow. Diner.com.
There you go. All right. So, are we going to give a shout out to for a trivia?
I think we should.
Let's do that.
Carol, first of all, what's the prize?
The prize are two $20 gift certificates, one to Puerto Vallarta Mexican Restaurant right here in Manchester on 2nd Street, and the other one to Mama McDonough's in Hillsboro. And Mama McDonough's serves dinner and lunch, and then they serve breakfast on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday. So
cool.
And we had them in. Mama McDonough's the owner, and it sounds like a really fun place. So
well, here we go. We're going to play Spot the Oreo Imposter. Now, as we all know, there are dozens and dozens of Oreo variations. Of course, a lot of them, you know, are just for a very short, limited time run. And some are done overseas. So what I have done is I put together a list of three Oreo cookie variations. I mean, because we know there's like double stuff and all those. So, but there's some really crazy, mad flavors. So I'm going to give you three, but one of them is fake. If you can pick the fake out of the three or spot the Oreo imposter, we will give those items that Carol just described.
There you go. And the number to call is 866-823-1077. So go ahead, Mike.
So what I would like to do when we get a caller
we'll
on the line.
Caller. Yeah, okay. I got you.
Is you guys can play but not answer. Hold up a finger, one, two, or three, when I read the list to see if you, too, can pick the imposter. So we'll have Chef Patrick and my partner Carol Lawrence of the Red Arrow Diners and Midtown Cafe to figure it out. The phone number is toll-free, 866-823-1077. Spot the Oreo imposter. I will read three. Two of them are real, but you have to tell me which one is the fake.
There you go.
Real
so
easy
we're
to
looking
do.
For a caller. There we go.
Exactly.
All right. So you said now this week, Patrick, you when you fed the mayor, obviously Italian, you was that like what you taught them,
yes,
or was
so,
there other dishes
so
that you did? Or?
On Tuesday, so in my summer schedule, on Tuesdays and it's just Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So I have four classes that I teach, two separate ones. And the first one, usually on either Tuesday, will start at 9:30, and we'll go till we're finished. And the next one starts at 3:30. So they're back to back. On Tuesdays, my Garmin J class, which is where I've been making all the cheese and what we were talking about coming up till then. And then in the second part of that day is my classical cuisine, so classical French and all sorts of stuff. So, like last week, we did frog legs.
Are
frog you legs. Serious?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's funny because what I'll do in
where
that
did
class,
you get them?
Oh, I have a company called. You know what Dolan Bailey is? Dolan Bailey's a company, and they have all sorts of they sell truffles to everything, and it's really some exotic stuff. But it's funny for that class because what I'll do is I'll do a
whole
demo. No, just the legs. I got a picture of it, and what I usually do is before I cook them up, I'll have a little cover, and I say, all right, here's our special ingredient we're going to do for today. I'll lift it up, and they'll be like, what is that? And they start singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow and dancing around with them, and then before we start cooking them.
Kermit the Frog
here. Yeah.
Do we have
Stop
a caller?
You guys.
Do we have a caller?
We
for
do have a caller. We have George
imposter.
From Boscawen. Hi, George.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I know this gentleman.
You
do?
Yes.
All right. Well, George, we're going to read three Oreo cookies. Are you an Oreo cookie lover?
I am, especially the ones that are deep fried.
Oh, yes. Right. You know, I had those at one of the fairs. It may have been the Deerfield Fair. They were too mushy for me.
Yeah, George. So here's the story. George is a chef over at Allen's. If you didn't know that, Allen's
in Bosque.
Didn't know that. So he's a ringer.
Yeah, and I used to do some work. I used to work with him.
Oh, cool.
Every once in a while, we still
do.
Cool. So
all right.
We'll see if he knows his goods.
All right, Chef George. These are the three Oreo choices. You need to tell me which is the imposter. Here we go. The first one, honeycomb Oreo. The second, coconut delight Oreo. Or number three, organic Oreo. Now, I'll repeat those for you, and then I'm also going to ask my partners to hold up a finger if it's one, two, or three. Number one, honeycomb Oreo. Number two, coconut delight Oreo. Or number three, organic Oreo.
Oh,
I want you two to hold up a finger, which is the imposter. In the meantime, George?
I would say that it's organic.
Carol, what do you think? You think it's also organic?
I do.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. We're going to have to take another call. It is not organic. That is a real one. Yeah.
Really?
George, thanks for your try.
We'll see you soon, buddy.
All right.
How's it going?
866-823-1077. Anybody else standing by?
Jim from Concord. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Well, George just made it easier for you if you were able to hear his incorrect guess. I don't know if he did or not. If not, then you're going to get all three of them again. All right.
Okay.
I'm sorry. What's your name again?
Jim.
Jim. All right. All right. So which is the fake or the imposter? Number one, honeycomb Oreo. Number two, coconut delight Oreo. Number three, organic Oreo. Which one is the imposter?
I'm going to guess honeycomb Oreo.
And so you agree. Chef Patrick held up finger number one as well. That is correct. That is right. Honeycomb Oreo is not a real cookie product.
It would be pretty good, though.
I think it would be.
Yeah.
I didn't like the idea of it. That's why I guessed that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll read a few of other ones here, and you may not like those anymore either. But, Carol, what does our guest win?
Your guest, Jim, you're winning a $20 gift certificate to Mama McDonough's Irish Pub in Hillsborough and $20 to Puerto Vallarta here in Manchester. Best Mexican around if you like Mexican. Yum. And they have good margaritas, too.
That's the most important part. Jim, stay on the line, and J-Dog, we'll get your information so we can pop those in the mail to you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Thanks, pal.
That's funny because, like I said, we were talking before. I said, we had our classical cuisine, mm-hmm. and we had the frog legs. The other class that we did is American Regional, and then in the afternoon it's the Italian class. So that was yesterday. But American Regional yesterday, we did Tex-Mex food. So we did chimichangas, we did enchiladas, we did chicken fried steak. chili, with
is that Tex-Mex chicken fried steak?
Chicken fried steak, yeah, in that section. Hmm. And what else did we do? We did enchiladas. I'm trying to think. I did the chimichangas. I did. We do all sorts of, tamales, and then and all sorts of. So it comes out. It comes out really good. I love making. Like I said, when I brought the salsas in, I make fresh salsas and show the students how to do that.
We've had yours. It's
So one of the first restaurant jobs I had was in a Mexican restaurant. It was called Taco Villa. It was in Northampton, Massachusetts, and. It was great, though. I learned a lot. I started washing pots and pans, and I was 13 when I started. Of course, it was my buddy's brother's place, and he had three of them. So I was able to get in there once I turned 14, I was in there, So, but we learned a lot of that, too. Like chili rellenos, we did
love
too.
Chili rellenos. That's how I judge a Mexican restaurant.
Really?
Chili relleno.
I get
yum.
So we did those yesterday. We did poblano peppers. All right, and we take
those. It's my favorite pepper.
Oh yeah, and people think, oh, it's gonna be so spicy.
No.
It's not spicy at all. It's just it's a step above like a bell pepper, but it's the texture because it's thinner.
Yep. I love it.
And it doesn't have any heat, but it's got more flavor
sometimes
to it.
Sometimes you can. They do a little bit, but nothing overpowering or anything like that. I have them in my fridge all the time.
And we did ours with we did grilled corn, queso fresco, which is a nice cheese, queso fresco, and I kind of make a little mixture with roasted garlic, and we make this cheese mixture. We stuff them, and then what do I do is I take egg whites, whip them to like a stiff peak, egg whites, and then you take those poblano peppers. peppers after you've cleaned out the inside. You make a little slice in them. You roast them first. We roast them, and then we'll stuff them, and then we'll dredge them in flour, dip them inside that the egg whites, and then fry them off, and it comes out nice and coated.
They're so good. Yeah.
So good.
Speaking of egg whites, let's share with Chef Patrick.
Oh, yes.
The newest vegan way to make meringue.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You haven't heard of this?
No. Which one is this?
Randy Clemens. He's one of our new food guys on Mondays.
Oh, really?
And the author of cookbooks.
Oh, yeah.
Sriracha
wow.
cookbook.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's a real out-of-the-box kind of guy. He's from California, just moved here.
Yeah.
And so he's got a little different take on cuisine, which is very welcome in this area. Yeah. Kind of a different voice. So go ahead, Carol.
That's awesome.
You take a can of kidney beans or cannelloni beans or, you know,
garbanzo beans or
whatever. And you know how it has all that gelatinous you know? Well, rinse them out. Take the stuff that's in it.
The goo.
Put it in the goo and stuff. Put it in a you know, strain it and save that.
Oh, you're...
And then you put half a cup of sugar and whip it. And
are you kidding
meringue.
Me?
And it makes a
really?
Vegan-approved meringue.
Just from the starch, I would never even think of that. That is crazy. That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
So give it a shot sometime. We haven't tried it yet.
I know.
And he's going to be on with us, not this Monday,
not this
but
Monday, next
Monday. And he'll bring some that he's made.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really curious to try it out.
Now, where is he from? You said he's...
He's from California.
California, but he lives here now?
He
lives
here
now.
Just moved here. A couple months ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he just wanted to move to New Hampshire. He likes the... I guess sort of the political atmosphere of living here, the live free and die mentality, and he's been pleased so far with some of the restaurants that he's found. You know,
that's good.
Although clearly nothing like California has the diversity we haven't caught up and probably never will. But
he's a major foodie.
Oh yeah,
he has tattoos.
Vegetables
all over.
It's all vegetables.
Really?
Yeah,
he's got this big stack of asparagus.
Yeah,
right here.
Does he?
It's like the coolest thing.
I got a tattoo of myself, but only bigger. You know.
That's
I miraculously in this industry I've gone without tattoos. I don't know how. I almost did get one time, but you know, I haven't. But
I thought I heard maybe it was Anthony Bourdain or some other major food guy say, "I don't trust a chef that doesn't have a tattoo."
I guess I'm gonna have to go out and get one now. You know?
Apparently. Speaking of, what do you think of Anthony Bourdain? Have you seen his show?
I like him.
It's very journalistically driven.
Yeah, he's very journalistic, but at the same time, you know, like I said, he's very he wants to be controversial all the time, you know, and things like that, which is great, you know, and you know, he tries to expose, you know, I mean, have you ever read Kitchen Confidential?
I did, and I actually interviewed him right after that book came out.
Did you?
When I had no idea who he was, but I thought it was a great book.
Yeah, it was, and he tells like the whole behind
about 10 years
scenes,
ago,
you know, and I love it, you know, like, you know, some of the, I like his descriptions, you know, like when he said, you know, the Ewok like emerald guy, you know, and he starts, it's funny, so, but I mean, he tells like a little bit behind the scenes, and then, you know, he roused some people by doing that, you know, so making you know, but that's you know, chef's life.
Well, he's traveling to these places where you would never think any person would ever go, and he actually sits down and has dinner in somebody's house.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's a thatched house. Or
I saw the one where I think he was in Russia or whatever, and he was drinking all the different types of vodkas that they had out there.
That man drinks.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he drinks.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it was crazy. Some of the foods between him and Andrew Zimmerman.
Yes.
When he goes out and he eats all those crazy, like, you know, we were talking about cheese making that time, and they had that one cheese that he opened up and it had the maggots inside of it.
Yes.
Oh yeah. It's this crazy cheese in Italy, and he was eating it right down. He's like, "Oh, this is wonderful."
You don't eat it with the maggots.
Oh, come on. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's what ferments the cheese, and which makes it so you know,
desirable.
I guess so. The mold and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So you know, I'm
that
always
horrible.
You know, when I first started making cheese, you know, I was like, you know, I was so afraid, you know, it was going to do something, it was going to go rotten. Mm-hmm. And you talk to most cheesemakers, and they said when you make the first batch of cheese, it molds. It's supposed to mold. That's what it does. And you know, you eat the insides, and go on from there. But it's one of those things that I get so nervous about even still today.
Is that something that you would try?
I would try.
You would?
I'm not over the top to, you know, like, generally I'll try something once. I don't care.
How about you, Mike?
I would probably pass on that.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was doing it for a show and I had Anthony Bourdain's gig, I definitely would try it. Yeah, I definitely would.
I guess you'd have to be on the spot, you know.
Well, yeah, but, like Andrew Zimmerman, that's his whole shtick.
But some of the stuff when you start getting into the bugs and things like that, I had one.
Bugs don't bother me.
Yeah. What was that show that they used to have? And they used to be the, you know, part of it. They do all these crazy stunts, and then some of it they'd eat these.
Yeah, well, that was, I think it's still on, you're talking about, it's the, on CBS.
Fear Factor.
Thank you, Jay.
That's what I watched, one of the Fear Factors, when they had to go in the tank and they put all those beetles all over them.
See, that would drive me nuts. That would not bother me at all.
Oh,
no. That would, but spiders, different story.
Oh, snakes.
I'd rather lay on Beatles records than Beatles.
Put me in a pit of snakes. I'll be trying to crawl out of there in a hurry.
Oh, what's the worst thing, or most, I guess, unsavory thing you've ever eaten?
I worked for a restaurant, and we did everything. I mean, they did ostrich, they did antelope, they did all sorts of stuff. And it was one of those things that they did a lot of different things, and we used to get in this fish that was this big bug-eyed fish. It was called Tatog.
Okay.
And they had that to everything. So I mean, the one unsavory. I didn't like bear. I've tried bear meat before. Have you ever had that?
No.
It's very gritty. Oily, it's very gritty and oily, and it's just you have to season it.
Well, how is it prepared?
We did some Chinese five spice, and we roasted it. And some people are like, "Oh, bear is great." It's not for me. You know, I've tried everything.
But did you have an anti-bear bias going in, do you think, or had you tried it and they say, "What do you think this is?" Maybe it wouldn't have been so bad.
No, they told me what it was, and
but
I tried it.
Would you rather have not known? To have, be more objective?
No, it wouldn't matter. I one of the best things I've ever eaten is ostrich. Have you ever had ostrich before?
No,
I have.
It's very good. It's
Healthy
actually
Buffalo. Jim has brought that into us before. That's actually pretty good.
It's pretty good, yeah. I mean, I've eaten alligator. I've eaten, a lot of different things. So,
I've tried the alligator, too, but I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
I had alligator tail, but it was prepared in a Cajun fashion, and I think the spices overwhelmed what it was really inside.
Did you ever see it before you prepare it? It's like this long, slithery...
Tell us how you really feel.
Remember, Jada, don't you remember when Jim brought it in? It was so yucky. Oh.
Yeah. It won't be on the Red Arrow menu anytime soon, huh?
But alligator is on Nolan's menu.
Oh, it is.
Alligator,
yep, okay. I've had it.
Fried alligator. Yeah, yeah. J-Duck has had it. Yeah.
I haven't told you this, Mike and Patrick, but this was back in Florida, back when I was doing spring training for the Red Sox with the Pulse, and did the food report on trying alligator for the first time. And what I had was, I had all different sorts of alligator. One was pan-seared. One was in all these different, remoulade sauce, whatever. And I had the jowl, I guess, of the gator, which tastes like pork. Now, about a month later, I went to Nolan's in Manchester, and they had the, as one of the appetizers, gator, and I had the tail. The tail tastes like chicken. So jowl tastes, the jowl and the shoulder tastes like pork, but I guess the tail tastes like chicken. So.
Yeah, it's funny because you were talking about frog legs. It's kind of similar. It's almost like eating a chicken wing, but it's like haddock. You know, that's what the texture of the meat is too.
Whoa. Right. We need to go and break, you guys.
Yeah, it's a.
Yeah, I think it's about time for a break. I think it was about 3 minutes ago. Actually,
I'll go grab some frog legs.
Here's your car keys. Yeah. See you later.
You're listening to Food for Thought. We're in studio with Carol and Mike and Chef Patrick, along with Maggie and Emma as well. They're being so good. Very, very good.
Well, I appreciate it.
Tons of chocolate here, Daddy.
Yeah. Good luck on the ride home.
Yeah. You bouncing off the walls.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We're live at the Beacon Building. It's a gorgeous Thursday out there. It's almost Friday, and tomorrow we'll be outside. We'll be on the sidewalk tomorrow broadcasting. We'll be with Shelley Wolcott tomorrow of
Channel 9?
Not that one. Be on assignment or on the desk.
Right. No, Shelley Wolcott with Healthy Healthy Solution Spice Blends.
Right.
There we go.
Which I've been using a lot because I'm too lazy to make my own rubs. But why when somebody can do it for you?
There's some really good ones out there.
There really are.
I don't know if you do ribs at all, but I like the Paul Prudhomme has those spices.
I love Paul Prudhomme.
Oh, when I was at Johnson & Wales, he came out and he was a visiting chef. And
seriously?
Cool. Cook. Oh, yeah. He'd come out and he's got his little cart there and he would go out there. But it was pretty amazing.
I use his blackened swordfish recipe. Just fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, mm-hmm. some pretty good spice blends out there.
Very cool. And we're also going to be joined with my friend Kim Polansky, and he is going to be doing a segment on carbecuing.
Have you ever heard of that?
Carbecuing?
Yes.
Carbecue.
Oh, in the car.
The engine.
Yes, in the engine. I
pretty much wrapped in foil.
Yeah, you wrap it and you put it right on the engine. Yeah, I've heard about that.
And there's various recipes. If you're driving 300 miles, this will be done. If you're driving 100 miles, you can cook this.
Yep.
There's actually a book called Manifold Destiny.
Yeah.
Now, this is not him, but it's the same idea.
Yeah, that's interesting, but I don't know. You know, I always wondered because I saw some show where they did that when the guy put fish on. You know, I think it was mm-hmm. in Vermont or somewhere. And he put
That's where the the manifold guys are from. Is Vermont?
Is that what it is? Okay,
so it's probably them.
So I saw them and they did that with the fish. Mm-hmm. But I always wondered. I said, you know, just like whenever you like grill out or you do anything, you know, like if you went camping, mm-hmm. you know, one of my worst mistakes was putting pine wood on the fire and then I try to grill burgers on top of it and you're like
raging flame.
But I wonder how that works with the car. You know,
I think this is a problem, and I'm not going to be here tomorrow, so I can't ask him. Carol, maybe you can. Today's cars just have everything pretty much under plastic, or you don't have as much exposed heat surface like you did in the older cars, where you would see not only the carburetor but the manifold and all the stuff you need. So I'm not sure how good the newer cars are for carbecuing.
I do know that Kim has a Jeep, so he'll be carbecuing with his Jeep.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know, but I'm going to be saving a parking spot right in front of our cart that we broadcast from. And it'll be like a little live cooking demonstration.
Is he
going
to cook something?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, well, he's got to keep the engine running or he's got to start it before he leaves, and by the time he gets here, it should be almost done.
Maybe he's driving from Vermont. He's going to put like a pot roast on
there. I don't know. He's driving from Merrimack.
Oh, Merrimack. So, oh,
maybe salmon. I think you can cook that pretty quickly.
He's been working on this for a few days, so I'm sure he's going to have it all down pat for tomorrow when he pulls up. I'm going to hold the parking space, and then when he gets here, I'll pull out and he'll pull in.
Or maybe he'll have some aspic.
Goes well with everything.
It does,
preserves and everything else, you know. Who doesn't like meat jello?
Yeah. We always learn something new from Chef Patrick.
We do, and you know, at first I was a little worried a whole hour, but it went by like so
it by quick.
It
quickly.
It. Yeah, it really, really does. It's, I don't know if the girls would agree, but
I don't know. Yeah, they like it, you know. So they're interested in seeing the whole process of it. So
there
they're excited.
It's cool.
So.
Cool.
All right. Kale and Company up next, and we'll see everybody tomorrow on the sidewalk. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Chef.